Good evening, one and all. Yes, another week, a Tuesday, and this is me, Barry, with another book and a chat. Well, before I sort of called my guest tonight, I was setting up one of my music shows for, well, starting to create, shall I say, one of my music shows for the weekend. Those are the days where I get a theme and I play music from the 20th century and stuff like that. Anyway, I was sort of looking through, and the last one, people who know it, the last bit of music I play is always a slow one, a slowie as I call it. And I picked one out and I thought, my God, this has been around for a while. This is a theme tune for a radio program that I thought it's been around for a while. And then I looked it up and it's been running since January 1942 and it's still going strong. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it was actually voted the best radio program in the world because, well, it's been going that long. And I thought, hang on, let me check my book and the chats. And sure enough, 1823 I've done, going back to 2007. You thought that was just yesterday, but it's not. It's so many years ago. This is what happens when you get old. Another thing that happens is, what about the what ifs? What about, do you ever sort of sit there and say, well, what if I hadn't broken up with that one? What if I hadn't have gone there? What if I hadn't moved to America? You know, what if this, that, and the other? But do we have control over this stuff? Do we really? Or is are like one of the guests we had about 7-8 years ago, theory was that we're all characters taking part in a sort of SimCity type game in the future, and that they're running our lives for us with this game. My guest today, well, put it like this, if I tell you that she just uses her initials, you know it's going to be fixed science fiction or science fantasy. It's always the same. Have you noticed that? We brought that up last week. Anyway, we're going to talk to her about her book, and the second one's coming out soon as well. I better introduce her, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only A.A. De Silva, or Amy, as I hope she's going to allow me to call her. Amy, how are you?
Hi, Barry. How are you doing? Thanks so much for having me.
It is a pleasure. And I am, I'm actually not too bad for a change. I didn't even think about clearing the snow. I looked
but
out
sometimes
and thought,
the sun takes care of it for us,
exactly.
Right?
Now, we've got an Akita, so she loves the snow. And so I have to go out and get her in because she won't come in. You know, she just stay out there.
I know.
I mean, you know, it's hot weather. She's there panting and puffing and the air conditioning's on full blast. For her. The snow can't get her in at all.
Yeah. Rolling through it. Oh,
yeah,
they
yeah,
love
right.
it.
Oh, dig it.
I enjoy it from the window.
Yeah. That's right. I get the people, it's like the people who clear the leaves up, you know, and then we have another bit of wind and they all fall out, or it rains and their bags all get soaking and falling out. It's, you know, the people get the snow plow out and, you know, and they do their driveway and stuff like that, and then we get another couple of inches and they're out there again. But as you the sun takes care of it. What do we do?
Absolutely. You have to trust the cycle, right?
Exactly. Now, you're up in New England, Rhode Island.
I am.
Of course,
yes.
I'm from Old England, as I tell everybody, not New England. And this is the thing. You have a degree in clinical laboratory science, which doesn't tend at first glance to sort of look to writing books. But then when you think about, you know, science and science fiction and stuff like that, it really does give you an insight into stuff. Is that why you chose that as a subject?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I always say reality is stranger than fiction. And the best place that you can say that take place is in the medical field.
Yeah, yeah.
You see so many impossibilities, and it really gets your imagination going, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I'm just reading, listening to audiobooks of Alexander Kent, the Boleytho series, because I like all the sort of seafaring stuff and stuff like that. And of course, on the ship, it's a case of, okay, well, we got splinters in there, this will be gangrene, cut it off, arm, leg, what have you. And then, of course, I was actually working in Harefield when the first heart transplant took place, where in Harefield Hospital. So, and now it's nothing. And yet you sort of, how it's come such a long way since those days.
Oh, it has. And now with DNA and stem cells, we're growing organs in the lab. This is incredible. This is what we're living now, science fiction, what we would have thought 100 years ago if you told people then, about the advances in medicine. So it really does get your imagination going. And
Well,
it's really,
go ahead, go
it
ahead.
really, it does. It makes you really think. Maybe sometimes we think that we're talking in a fictional realm, but the best is yet to be discovered, I'm sure.
Well, last week I was reading an article on the BBC about the possibility, and it's going through trials, of a blood test that can spot up to 30 different types of cancer. I mean,
I was reading something similar.
can you believe that? I mean,
Unbelievable.
cancer is a mystery. People don't know about it until it's too late and this, that, and the other. Just imagine that you can go and have a blood test and it'll say, okay, you've got the startings of this or the follow up on that. Just a yearly checkup, even, or anything like that. It'd be wonderful to do that.
Absolutely. Really would. And even now we're making such advances. There's a lot of research right now where they're engineering antibodies and they're actually using our immune system to fight cancer. And this is just really the beginning. And I'm so excited about it because there's so much yet to be discovered.
Well, I was talking, last year before, or a couple of times, been talking to people about science fiction and stuff like that. And I use the analogy of Star Trek, right? Star Trek, when it came out, was futuristic and stuff like that. But then you look what they had, what was futuristic, and now it's common. Sliding doors.
Absolutely.
Every supermarket, etc. Captain's log, a tablet, communicator, a mobile phone, and
Oh,
it, even the
absolutely.
thing of the transporter. I've had somebody on the show who was saying they're sort of looking into that, working about not humans, but transferring of goods and stuff like that by a transporter. It's
Incredible.
it is really. So when you came to actually write your debut book, Periphery, was that, I mean, had you, what made you finally get to write a book? Had you sort of written when you were, as soon as you got older, Crayon was writing little stories or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was bitten by the writing bug very, very young. I had been published some poetry articles growing up, and I went into the medical field because I really just wasn't convinced that I could make money in the arts, but writing would not leave me. No matter what job I got in the lab, I usually tended to end up blogging for them, or I at one point was writing patient education newsletters. So it's just amazing how it just kind of always followed me through my life. And I always said, I want to write a book. I want to. I since I was a little girl, wanted to write. I mean, I read a ton. And then the pandemic hit. And it was like a moment, not just for healthcare workers, but all of us, that existential crisis of, oh wow, these things that we want to do, it's time to do it. Now's the time. We don't know how much time we have, and really just set me on that path. And I sat down and I wrote that novel in 2020. It was done by 2021, and now that I've done it, followed it through to completion. I actually love the process. Never thought I'd get the contract I did, but I did. Now I'm ready. I'm ready to move forward and really chase the dream that I don't think I believed enough in myself at the time. And that's still a struggle,
But
imposter syndrome and all
that is
that.
the when I sort of get asked, what can I recommend to authors, to new authors and stuff like that, my thing is have faith in yourself. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
because I can there was an author that was in a sort of writers group that I was belonging to, and they wrote quite a good book. I thought it, we went, we her different chapters all the time, and it was quite a good book. It was quite interesting and stuff like that. They went to a seminar, and they had a guest speaker there. And the guest speaker said, oh, you know, if it's in this, it's got to be in this tense, and you've got to move this, and you can't have that, and the character's got to be that and that. And they went home, and she basically rewrote the thing. Well, about 6-9 months down the line, she went to another seminar. There was another guest speaker who said something completely different. And she went and sort of hacked it around. By the time she had this book ready to go in, there was not much of her left. And I think that's the thing. You've got to have faith in yourself.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's very subjective. Mm. You know, what one person loves, or the type of story that one person may love, or the writing style another may not. It's so subjective. So you're right. And I've heard some of those conferences can be so very brutal, especially on new authors. I've not been to one, but I've heard some stories just like what you said, where you can really... be told a lot of conflicting things, and then, you know, you lose the heart of the story along the way.
Exactly. Your story's yours. Don't you forget that. It's not somebody else's. It's come from you. It's come from your brain. You're the person who's communicated with the characters, because, let's face it, the characters lead us. We have no control over the characters.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yes.
and it's a big thing on this program, believe me. and so how is somebody looking at it going to know what's in your brain? They can say, okay, the style could be improved, or you know, have you thought about not repeating that word in that sentence and little things like that. But when it comes down to the actual storyline, it's yours. Mm-hmm. And people get changed too much.
That's good advice. So true. It really does. It comes down to having that confidence. And
exactly.
I think that's something earned over time.
Yes.
Really, I'm glad that you shared that, because absolutely, you can't lose the heart of the story. Nobody knows the characters better than the author, right?
Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. In Periphery, even though it's a fiction novel, you explore the whole thing about choices and fate and stuff like that. I'm a great believer in, you know, we have no choice in a lot of things. You know, you could be walking down the road and a lorry jackknifes and swipes you and kills you as you walk down the road. You have no thing on that. But on the other hand, have you ever sort of been driving home from somewhere and you think, oh, I don't go that way today, I'll go this way. Don't know why I want to go this way today. And then you find out that something happened down the other way and stuff like that. You know, it's... I mean, people say it's guardian spirits, your angels watching over you or whatever. But I'm sure... that there are choices we perhaps subconsciously make choices, but that control us, that we have no control over.
Sure. Yeah. And that's a big question. Is it fate? Is it destiny? Is it our choices? Is it a tapestry of all of those things put together, you know, that bring us to where we're supposed to be? And that's explored a lot in the book. You know, is decision versus destiny. I think a lot of us question that even in real life.
Indeed,
it's really fun to explore.
Yeah, and in your book, you know, the plot has got a lot of these, like, theories, multiverse and ethics and stuff like that. Is that something you wanted to bring into the book, you know, from your own experience, both in work and in your life?
I think it is. It was a reflective point in my life. And I think we've all wondered, as you said in the beginning of the show, what would have happened if I made a different choice 20 years ago, 10 years ago? And it could be the smallest, most minute choice, or it could be a large choice. And all the different things that happen, that cascade after that, really changes the trajectory of your whole life, where you end up, where you live, who you're married to. And it's such a... It can be explored in such a deep way, of course, through fiction.
Yep.
Very fun to explore the multiverse, because now if you can access that, maybe you can get a peek at all those different lives you would be living with that one little different choice.
And I've had people who believe that, you know, they believe that's happened. They believe they've had insights into things like that, you know, where they're... I mean, it's... It's like an extension of pre-lives, you know, people's pre-lives and stuff like that. It's there. We what do
Oh.
we know? 10% of our brain power, if that, you know, we hardly anything. Who can tell what we can do?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where I wove in a lot of real life science. So the main character, she has acquired savant syndrome. And this is a real medical condition that can happen after a brain injury. So she gets into this car accident and she has this acquired savant syndrome now. And nobody knows in the real world and in the book where that comes from. But you start to think about all the implications of where that could have come from. You know, she was in this tragic accident. She was had cardiac arrest and resuscitation. If you're thinking about the multiverse, can we somehow acquire knowledge from another life? And that was really fun to explore. And I think that's a theme and a theory in scientific and a lot of fiction. So that was a lot of fun to write about.
Yeah, I had a, how can I say, not about a depression, but I was worried about stuff, and my wife suggested I go and have a past life with a person she'd been to before, she'd been to, and I found the cause of why it was because it, you know, in a past life I. How can I put this? I felt the daughter I had in the past life, because I was an invalid and needed looking after, it stopped her from having a life. And in this life, I was worried I was doing something the same to my children here. Basically, basically. So I was able to understand, I was able to accept, and I was able to get on with stuff. But it was. It was one of these weird things that it's suddenly like a light bulb going on. You know, it became all clear why I was feeling depressed, because I was worried about my children, and you know, and their mother and I were breaking up, and you know, what would happen, and you know, I'd let them down, and everything like that. And it was. Then I sort of found this, and I was able to understand and relate to it, and said, "Okay, but that's the thing. They've accepted it. This is, you know, this is this." And it was, it was an experience, but it helped
Incredible. So
reveal
it's a
stuff.
past life reading to see if those past lives are bleeding through to your current life and affecting your mental status.
Exactly.
Wow.
It was
Fascinating.
very interesting. I mean, I don't want to go into it too long now, but I found the whole thing really interesting, because I thought you were under in the deep sleep, and you're not. You're just there, sort of floating on the surface. I heard cars going up and down outside, and stuff like that. It's very, and this is the whole thing about time. You know, what does time? You know, how is time? People see spirits and they're at the top of a lighthouse and they're down the bottom, you know, in 2 seconds later. Is that because their time is in a different proportion to time in our world, and all this sort of stuff? Anyway, Charlotte, who's the heroine in your book, you know, she's this person who's had this issue, and everything like that. She ends up having to choose, doesn't she, between the part, you know, between the fate of the fate of her and the fate of the world. She has to make some pretty awkward choices in the book.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, when you follow her through her journey, you know, she's this widow. She's got this savant syndrome from this accident that she's been in. She's grieving heavily, and 4 years goes by, and she meets a stranger, and she's just something about him is so familiar. She feels very drawn to him. But then she realizes she's being watched by an agency, and this agency, as she comes to learn throughout the book, is actually targets people that have these acquired abilities from cardiac arrest and
Oh,
resuscitation.
really? Ah, so
So yes, so
I'm
she's got
sure
these
that
old
happens
acquired
as well.
savantism. To her, she thinks it's a curse, but to certain people, that might be an ability that would be useful to them. And you know, connecting her late husband, her past, her new lover, and her new abilities is this agency. and their motives just reach way beyond our current reality. So, you know, she's thrown into the path of danger, and she's faced with a series of really critical choices. And she has to find that strength to either move forward, even though the past is really gripping her tight, or maybe, you know, give in to that offer and figure out the morality and the ethics of that. If they're offering the one thing, you know, that she's been wanting for so many years, was to basically be reunited with her husband. And so it's a series of choices that really, you know, come together from her past, her present, and her future.
And of
so
course,
it really does explore those choices, yeah.
And of course, award-winning, I might add, debut novel.
Yes. It was just recently, you know, I had the Literary Titan Award. That was lovely. That was wonderful. I was so honored. And I actually just found out last week, Speak Up Talk Radio awarded it the Firebird Award. Yeah, so it was first place in the Firebird Award. So
great.
Very honored. Thank you. Very, very honored. Very humbled.
Now, your second book's with Wild Rose Press. Was your first?
Yes, it is.
Because I know we've had quite a few people from Wild Rose Press for many years on the show, so
wonderful.
Come across them before. I love the write-up says, a science fiction love story that explores fate, strength, and the choices that determine our destiny. Now, that sentence to me is a wonderful sentence to say, you know, what this is about, the things that we don't perhaps discuss or talk about openly as we should. We might think about them, yeah. But the fact you've managed to put this into a love story, I think, is wonderful. What sort of response have you had?
So far, it's been wonderful, and thank you so much. I've had some really lovely reviews. Getting the awards, really humbling and honored. So far, I really think, kind of like you said, these are things I think a lot of us think on. And even though it's fiction, it really gives us a chance to explore those emotions. I was joking with a friend one time, and we were talking about the premise, like you and I are, of the book. Mm-hmm. And I said, I feel like sometimes the theme is, you know, those nights that you're with friends, it's, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, you're all sitting around a table and the conversation turns deep. And you all start thinking about where you've been, where you're going, what would have happened if you made different choices. I really feel like it embodies that whole vibe and puts it into a story.
It's great.
It resonates with some.
I think that's it. And more people are thinking about, more people are open to things than used to be. And as they're open, they are willing to listen and perhaps discover things that perhaps in the past, too many perhapses, that in the past were sort of almost taboo. But now people are open to these things. You know, it isn't laughed at like it used to be, perhaps once upon a time. Are you finding through, you know, when people read through that your first book, that people are accepting some of the things you come up with a lot more than perhaps they might have done in the past?
I think so. I think it's very difficult many years ago, and even still sometimes, I feel like death, speaking about death, choices, multiverse, or reincarnation, people always felt that has to be synonymous with religion, and it really doesn't have to be.
Not at all.
You can speak of it, and I respect any and all religion, but you can speak of it and from a clinical aspect, and you can also speak of it without always having to include that, so that no matter what religion or belief somebody has, it's still worthy of a discussion. Mm. You know, where we've been, where we're going, what happens when we die, or when there's cardiac arrest and resuscitation.
Yep.
And I think that's the important takeaway, like you said, is maybe it would have been taboo in the past because it always had to be synonymous with a religion. But if you take all that part out of it and we just talk about maybe the ethics of it, the morals of it, the romance and the love story part of it, I think it's worthy of its own story in that sense. Without making it overly deep, right?
Indeed. I had, I got AFib, and what the first thing they do is they stop your heart and try and get it restarted back into sync, right? My youngest son says to me, he says, Dad, basically if they stop your heart, does that mean you temporary die. Well, I said, yeah, if you stop, yeah, your heart stops, you're basically temporary dead for a few seconds or milliseconds, what have you. He says, oh, does that mean we can claim on your life insurance?
Oh my gosh, how old is he?
He's 21 and a fireman. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks, son. Yeah. Your second book, The Bleed Through Effect, is coming out this year?
Yes, it is. Yep, 2025. I don't have an official release date yet. Excuse me. You had me laughing.
I'm sorry. Well, when it comes out, perhaps you'll come back and talk to us about your new book. But right now, time is running out. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you and have you tell everybody where people can find out more about you and, of course, your book. So over to you, Amy.
Wonderful. All right. So everybody, if you'd like to check out my debut novel, Periphery, as Barry told you, it's about fate, decisions, and destiny. One choice can change everything. My website is aadesilva.com. The book is available at every online retailer, all the big ones, small ones, a couple local indie bookstores as well. And I hope to see you on socials. Follow along. I have a lot of giveaways that go on, events, signings. So I'd love to see you all there.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Barry, for having
My
me.
My pleasure. Well, thank you so much for being a guest, Amy. Looking forward, perhaps, when the next one comes out to chat to you again, because I'm sure we've only just scratched the surface. This is the trouble. When you get an interesting guest, the time goes way too quickly.
It really did. It flew by. Oh, my gosh. I love being here. Thanks so much
for
having
thank
me.
Thank you. And good luck with the book. And as I say, when the next one comes out, let me know and you'll get you back on the show. Thank you so
Wonderful.
Much.
Wonderful. Can't wait. Thank you.
Well, there you go. My guest today. What an interesting chat, eh? A.A. Da Silva. D-A-S-I-L-V-A. A.A. Amy, I called her, but A.A. So you know it's fantasy or fiction because all those authors use their initials. We've been through that. It's a thing. You check it out. It's a thing. Anyway, that's it. I'll be back with another guest tomorrow. And hopefully tonight I'll finish off the music shows ready for Sunday. Anyway, as always, after that, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.